morning, church.
Let's open with a prayer. Lord God, we thank you for today. Thank you that we could gather here to seek you corporately. May you speak to us clearly and move us to apply your life's transforming word. Anoint me to speak, to sow seeds for your kingdom and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So please turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 43 to 51. 43 to 51. The next day, he purposed to go into Galilee, and he found Philip. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I said to you, you will see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Amen. So you might remember, didn't Tim talk about this last week? Yes, I did. But this time I will talk a portion of this scripture a bit more detail, because it's actually, there's a lot of meaningful things I found even just in one verse. So in verse 43, the first thing was he, Jesus, found Philip. That's the first thing Jesus did as he began his ministry, one of the first things he did. He went out his way to find us. And I would say that this is not a random choice by Jesus, but he came to look for specific people. And when we think about that, it should give us comfort that the Lord comes to find us. And as a seeker, we might have this perspective that we are the ones who were looking for Jesus, but in reality, it is him who comes to us first and allows us to find him. The first verse also said Jesus went all the way to Galilee to find Philip. And before that, back maybe like verse 25, a few verses earlier, Jesus came from Bethany near the Dead Sea, so where he was baptized by John the Baptist. Going from the River Jordan to Galilee is actually quite a long walk. And I would also think that it shows us Jesus is willing to go a long distance to reach a soul, which is a lesson for us that we too should be willing to go a long way to save a soul, to follow Jesus. And in addition to that, I would suggest that it is not only a physical distance that is long. I would suggest that difficult to reach people too. Yes, difficult to reach people too. So who might these difficult to reach people be? Maybe, or often, they could be the neglected people in the society. So it could be the beggars who could be invisible to us as we walk past them. Could be the elderly in the elderly center. Could be those stuck in the hospital and they can't, the hospital and they can't go to church or no one visit them. It could be the mentally handicapped, those in prison, the drug addicts, and even the rich. Yes, the rich are very difficult to reach too because they only listen to a few people, as well as the poor. And you might even know some of these people who are rich, difficult to reach for different reasons. Can you think of some of people you know who are difficult to reach? And I think Jesus calls us all to reach them as well. Those who are far away for one reason or another. If we stay on verse 43, the end of it is and Jesus said to him, "Follow me." So follow Jesus. Right after that, the next thing Philip did was very interesting. He did exactly what Jesus did. He went out and found a person. So after Philip received a call to follow him, to follow Jesus, the next thing he did was to find a person. He found his friend Nathanael for God's kingdom, and he became a soul winner as well for Jesus. Also, this wasn't random selection, but someone God knew in advance. And Philip followed Jesus and did what Jesus did. I guess. And he did it even though he only followed Jesus for a very short time. Literally, after he was called, and then that's the next thing he did, right? The next thing, he went to look for his friend. And by then, he probably didn't have much experience with Jesus too. And he didn't have all the answers about Jesus. Yet, Philip still shared about Jesus. And something that we all need to learn. And I would also suggest that what Philip shared about Jesus wasn't all that accurate. So, in verse 45, Philip said, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Do you notice there's something wrong with this sentence? Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. It might be more accurate to say Jesus of Bethlehem, because that's the place where the Messiah comes from Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. And the name Jesus of Nazareth misled people to think that he could not possibly be the Messiah, right? And similarly, Philip also called Jesus the son of Joseph, when he was actually the adopted son of Joseph, right? And later we learn that Jesus is more accurately known as the Son of God. So here, I would suggest that Philip made some mistakes in sharing about Jesus, but it didn't stop him. So it shouldn't stop us as well. So many times, including me, I made a lot of excuses for why we can't share the gospel. We say that we can't answer the questions, we don't want to make mistakes, we can't share everything clearly. And I encourage you to look at the example of Philip here. He too could have made all the excuses. He could have found a lot of reasons to wait for a better time. But he went straight to find his friend. And that day was the day of salvation for his friend. So Philip made good use of the time he had and told others quickly, enthusiastically, with excitement about this newfound love for Christ. And even when Nathanael rejected Philip about Jesus of Nazareth, in the next verse, verse 46, because he said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" But Philip responded in verse 47 by encouraging Nathanael to simply come and see, come and see. He didn't try to convince his friend that Jesus was the Messiah or win him over in other ways. Philip chose to follow Jesus' way, which he said earlier in the same chapter, if you first back, he said, "Come and see." Yeah, he just said, "Come and see." So one of the key lessons here is that we don't have to convince anyone who Jesus is. We simply give our testimony and then tell them to check out who Jesus is for themselves. We should not rely on our own knowledge or logic. Our goal should simply be to introduce people to Jesus and let him reveal himself and do the change. The Lord will prove himself who he is, as he did to Nathanael here, or actually if you first stand 47. And also, if the person rejects Jesus, we can still invite the person to just come and see. I think last time I talked about handling rejection. Maybe here, I also mentioned a little bit. We don't have to turn to Luke. In Luke 9, chapter 9, Jesus sends out the 12 to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healings. Jesus said to them, "Some will not receive you." And then you just shake the dust off your feet. You might remember that. Luke chapter 9, verse 3 to 5. So in a way, Jesus is telling us that expect rejection. So we expect to warn people about these things, about the kingdom of God, about what rejecting Jesus means, and leave them alone. And we are also to turn away from rejection just and continue to go on in sharing the gospel, simply because sharing the gospel with people is a very loving thing to do. Because it's done for love, for the person, as well as for God. So it needs to go on, continue to go on to share the gospel with love. So if we turn back to verse 47, here, just let me read it. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." What did Jesus mean here? Jesus called Nathanael an Israelite indeed. I'm guessing maybe Nathanael was a model Israelite already, who had faith in the Messiah. So unlike many other Israelites who were only Israelite by name, but doesn't miss out his faith. And we can think of many people who call themselves Christians or has a name or is labeled as Christian here in this time. And yet, nothing they do or even say reflects the characters of Christ. So maybe that's what he meant by an Israelite indeed. And I guess another quality might be that Nathanael knew the scripture, because when Philip told him that Jesus was from Nazareth, he immediately doubted if Jesus could be the Messiah, because the Messiah would have come from Bethlehem. Okay. And Jesus also said Nathanael did not deceive people. So he was a straightforward, open and honest guy too. Not deceptive or hypocritical, which, I feel like as a Christian, I'm more often than I like to be hypocritical too. So first 49, where Nathanael came out with his strong declarations of Jesus as the Son of God, the King of Israel, when Jesus saw Nathanael under the tree. Clearly, it shows that it was a miraculous event to Nathanael, because Jesus wasn't physically there to know that he was under the fig tree. So here, I think John included this, tell us who Jesus is, that he has a divine attributes. And the scripture doesn't really tell us what Nathanael was thinking or doing under the fig tree. So this is also my guess as well. So maybe he was praying and asking God to speak to him or show him something, a sign. And this statement, Jesus answered his prayers, which led to this response that he must be the Son of God, the King of Israel. Okay, actually, it's also already 7:30. So maybe I'll invite Mon to come to play some music. There are quite a few points here, but maybe I will just focus on this one thing. Evangelism doesn't have to be complicated. And here we see that the way Philip did it, out of love for people and out of love for God, is just sharing what he has seen and heard, and also what God did for him. So evangelism, or sharing the gospel, is simply introducing others to God. So may I encourage you to introduce your friends to God, tell them what he has done for you, and maybe at the right timing, give them a Bible as well, so that they can read and look and come and see what Jesus has done. And the word "come and see" suggests that whoever we're inviting is not doing it alone. We are doing it with them as a friend. And remember, God is the one who saves and calls, not us. Yes, Lord, change us from the inside out. Yes, Lord, fill us with your love so that we can pour out your love to others. May you continue to reveal your true nature to us. Your word, your love is sweeter than anything else. And we just feel so compelled to share about you, about your story, about your goodness to us. So that many more lives will be saved by you. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. So let us turn to the community prayer. Pray for those who are suffering from cancers and in need of pray for God's strength on them, because I know that's the strength also for the family members to continue to walk with them. And yes, Lord, may they receive more and more of God's love for the strength to keep running the race. Also pray for those who are ill and don't know Jesus. Pray that yes, these people will come and see, even if they cannot go to church or leave the hospital or whatever reason, that God will send the right people to reveal himself, to be a great witness for God, so that they would know Jesus and be healed. Let's pray for all those who are suffering other infirmities, that they will be healed in many, many ways, not just physical healing, but complete restoration of body, mind, and spirit. We continue to lift up those who are looking for work. And in the meantime, God provides, and that God releases the provision so that their needs are met every day. Today our mission focus is Japan and Cambodia. Yes, pray for P. Sophia. I think she's still in Japan for maybe one more week. And yes, also pray that the team came back from Japan a few days ago, that the seeds that's planted continue to grow and bear fruit. And yes, also pray for Grace, our missionaries in Cambodia, and our partner Oasis's house. Continue to lift up the Missions Council that we will use the funds wisely for God's kingdom and purpose, and that God will connect us to the right missionaries, the right NGOs to further His work. Please lift up the local outreach ministry where we do evangelism as well as we meet the needs of people, often their emotional needs and the loneliness. All the ministry, Ikape, Homie, SP Light, Freedom Bridge Recreation, all need more people to join so that more lives could be touched. Let's also pray for the foster and adoption ministry, Kava Cadence, the leader, and also pray for God to raise up more and more relief families who come alongside to support the babies and children. Pray for the activities and gathering tonight, SPU, the college group, SP Youth, I think they do the service tonight, IP covering the church tonight. Yeah, pray at GIC, pray for God's presence moving in the midst and leading and guiding, and we as the children have an humble, obedient heart just to follow Him. Continue to lift up Hong Kong. I know we had a powerful prayer and worship evening last night. Yes, pray for Hong Kong's leader to have a godly resolution to all these things. Pray for the mission trip in Korea where we are serving North Korean refugee young adults and youth as well, that they come to know Jesus and they encounter Jesus and be changed, and also for the north and south to come to have peace with one another. God, thank you for today. Thank you for your message, Sam. Talking about you, our Heavenly Father, is such a joyful, happy thing. And it's not difficult. It could be very simple to share about you. And even if people reject, we can simply ask them, just come and see. For you will do your work, and it's not up to us. So thank you for giving us so little burden, and yet can have such a life-transforming event for people around us. For once we know you, we know so much can change, even how we face difficulties, and even the circumstances don't change. Our heart changes because you are with us, that changes everything. So Lord God, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for this invitation to invite people to come and see. Yes, Lord, may your will be done, and may many, many more lives be changed. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please continue to take time for your personal prayer. Have a great weekend.